especially if you're a visitor for the first time. Today we have three services. This service will be led by Ken Bartlett.
Where are you? Over there.
Hello. Oh, and Leslie. Oh, okay. And there will be an 11:30 all-aged worship with communion, and at 6:30 we will have our reflective evening service. Pastoral news. Maggie Arnold will be going to hospital next Wednesday, the 1st of October, to have a knee replacement. And Michael Burgess is in hospital, and he has had an operation and is experiencing some post-op complications. So I ask for your prayers for Michael and for Maggie. This is a gentle reminder, and she's just come in the room, that very soon Anne McFarlane will be doing her fundraising challenge. And today she has the forms for donations, and she's ready for you to sign them. We have a new Bible study opportunity. Ken Walker is doing a four-week course on Jeremiah, and it starts this Wednesday, the 1st of October, at 2 p.m, which is soon after the lunchtime service, at this church. In two Sundays' time, we will be celebrating our harvest, and we will be offering our gifts to Food Bank. And there'll be more information about the details of what to bring next week. And finally, Peter Ashton would like to say something about the Link shoebox appeal. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm sure you've seen some of the signs, but today we're starting the shoebox appeal, and I'd just like to say a few words about it. Last Christmas, at many schools, community groups and churches, families and individuals helped Link to Hope distribute 34,000 shoeboxes as gifts in Eastern Europe. The shoebox appeal has run every year since 1992, providing boxes of essential items such as clothes, hats, toothpastes, hairbrushes, pens, pencils, and for the poorest communities in Eastern Europe. And they're delivered to Moldova, Bulgaria, Romania, Albania, and the Ukraine, which obviously has a very great need because of the refugees there. And it also says, as well as spending shoeboxes to those in need, we Link to Hope particularly wants to support projects in Ukraine with shoeboxes and working very hard with the situation with the refugees. And in Bulgaria, Link to Hope project teams are giving shoeboxes to many Syrian refugees currently housed in schools and camps with no possessions, having to flee the fighting with nothing. And if they're in Bulgaria, they've obviously gone right through Turkey to get there. And what can they carry? Nothing. So alongside the shoeboxes, we also have an appeal for any unwanted coins, old UK coins, old pennies, halfpence, half crowns, or any foreign money. And we have this little box which will be on the top of the counter in the coffee bar. So if anybody's got those, or if they got a bigger amount, give it to somebody and it'll come to us eventually. And just one other thing, Jean has a poster here with the suggestions on what you can do for £10 to fill your shoebox. And that will be outside in the Mayo Hall with all the shoeboxes for you. Please see what you can do. Thank you.
join together to worship God and to hear these words from the psalmist, from the Message translation. Come, let us shout praises to God. Raise the roof for the rock who saved us. Let's march into God's presence singing praises. Lift the rafters with our hymns. And why? Because God is the best, high king over all the gods. In one hand, God holds deep caves and caverns. In the other hand, grasps the high mountains. God made ocean, God owns it. His hands sculpted earth. So come, let us worship. Bow before God, on your knees, before God who made us. We sing, we are marching in the light of God. Let's pray. Creator God, bless the human creativity in poetry, art, and the music of the world. how dull and poor life would be if you had not inspired poets and writers to interpret the thoughts and the experiences of humanity. If you had not led artists to widen the perspectives of life with their colours and their forms. If you had not inspired musicians to catch the pulse of life, the multitude of tones which have given body to the joy, the protest, the praise of life. Creator God, help us as we worship to enter the living space of creativeness, where freedom is breathing, where souls may mature, where life is reflected upon and becomes meaningful. May your music fill our heart and our ears. May your music fill our souls and our spirits. May your music fill our heads and our mouths. May we sing your praise. We ask for your forgiveness, O God, for those times when we have allowed music to be a source of division among us. When we have insisted that our taste is the taste. When we have disabled others from making their contribution and making your praise in their way. Bless the worship that we offer, O God, that it would transform the lives that we bring, that you would be our center, and to you be the glory, living God. Amen. We say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For us the kingdom, the power,
music and dance have been associated with worship from earliest times. Here are some verses from a psalm of praise which was sung by the Israelites' yearly autumn festival. Psalm 98, verse 1 and verses 4 to 9. Sing a new song to the Lord. He has done wonderful things. By his own power and holy strength, he has won the victory. Sing for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Praise him with songs and shouts of joy. Sing praises to the Lord. Play music on the harps. Blow trumpets and horns, and shout for joy to the Lord, our King. Roar, sea, and every creature in you. Sing, earth, and all who live in you. Clap your hands, you rivers, you hills. Sing together with joy before the Lord, because he comes to rule the earth. He will rule the peoples of the world with justice and fairness.
Give me joy in my heart. I'm going to read from a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's the true story of an American pastor called Don Piper. And in 1989, he was in a very serious car crash, and his car was crushed by an 18-wheel lorry, and he died. And it happened as a minister came along, didn't know he died, but was praying by the side of the crash site. And 90 minutes later, he came back to life, singing. And he's written this book about his time in heaven and his life afterwards. Myriads of sounds so filled my mind and heart that it's difficult to explain them. The most amazing one, however, was the angel's wings. I didn't see them, but the sound was a beautiful, holy melody with a cadence that seemed never to stop. The swishing resounded as if it was a form of never-ending praise. As I listened, I simply knew what it was. A second sound remains, even today, the single most vivid memory I have of my entire heavenly experience. I call it music, but it differed from anything I had ever heard or ever expect to hear on the earth. The melodies of praise filled the atmosphere. The non-stop intensity and endless variety overwhelmed me. The praise was unending, But the most remarkable thing to me was that hundreds of songs were being sung at the same time, all of them worshipping God. As I approached the large, magnificent gate, I heard them from every direction and realized that each voice praised God. I write voice, but it was more than that. Some sounded instrumental, but I wasn't sure, and I wasn't concerned. Praise was everywhere, and all of it was musical, yet comprised of melodies and tones I'd never experienced before. Hallelujah, praise, glory to God, praise to the King. Such words rang out in the midst of all the music. I don't know if angels were singing them or if they came from humans. I felt so awestruck and caught up in the heavenly mood that I didn't look around. My heart was filled with the deepest joy I've ever experienced. I wasn't a participant in the worship, yet I felt as if my heart rang out with the same kind of joy and exuberance. If we played 3 CDs of praise at the same time, we'd have a cacophony of noise that would drive us crazy. This was totally different. Every sound blended, and each voice or instrument enhanced the others. As strange as it may seem, I could clearly distinguish each song. It sounded as if each hymn of praise was meant for me to hear as I moved inside the gates. Many of the old hymns and choruses I had sung at various times in my life were part of the music, along with hundreds of songs I had never heard before. Hymns of praise, modern sounding choruses, and ancient chants filled my ears and brought not only a deep peace, but the greatest feeling of joy I've ever experienced. As I stood before the gate, I didn't think of it, but later I realized that I didn't hear songs such as "The Old Rugged Cross" or "The Nail-Scarred Hand." None of the hymns that filled the air were about Jesus' sacrifice or death. I heard no sad songs and instinctively knew there are no sad songs in heaven. Why would there be? All were praises about Christ's reign as King of Kings and our joyful worship for all he has done for us and how wonderful he is. The celestial tunes surpassed any I had ever heard. I couldn't calculate the number of songs, perhaps thousands offered up simultaneously, and yet there was no chaos because I had the capacity to hear each one and discern the lyrics and melody. I marveled at the glorious music. Though not possessed of a great singing voice in life, I knew that if I sang, my voice would be in perfect pitch and would sound as melodious and harmonious as the thousands of other voices and instruments that filled my ears. Even now, back on earth, sometimes I still hear faint echoes of that music. When I'm especially tired and lie in bed with my eyes closed, occasionally I drift off to sleep with the sounds of heaven filling my heart and mind. No matter how difficult a day I've had, peace immediately fills every being, every part of my being. I still have flashbacks, although they're different from what we normally refer to as flashbacks. Mine are more flashbacks of the sounds than the sights. Obviously, I can't really know how God feels, but I find joy and comfort in thinking that he must be pleased and blessed by the continuous sounds of praise.
We add our voices, and art thou come.
for the Bible, music is part of the structure of the universe. In the book of Job, God asks, "Were you there when I laid the earth's foundations, when the morning stars sang together, and all the children of God shouted for joy?" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole company of the disciples began to sing the praises of God. "Blessed is he who comes as King in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven, glory in highest heaven." The Pharisees said to Jesus, "Restrain your disciples." But he replied, "I tell you, if my disciples are silent, the very stones will sing aloud." Music is God's gift to us. For babies, melody and rhythm come before speech. It's the shared inheritance of all human people. And because music does not require words, people of different languages, cultures, and traditions who cannot understand each other's speech can share it. Music overcomes the confusion of Babel, the languages which separate us from each other. The freedom of music from words is a great blessing. It gives us license to think our own thoughts and to express emotions and feelings which we could not otherwise express. So people who have no religious allegiance and may even have denied the very existence of God find in music a spiritual dimension which they do not have to take the risk of defining too precisely, a real experience outside themselves. This explains the profound silence kept by 6,000 people in the Albert Hall in the Proms this year at the end of the War Requiem and the St. Matthew Passion. And when the trumpet plays the last post on Remembrance Day, who is not moved? So music is a gift of God reaching out to all people. This perhaps also explains why people who reject religious faith nevertheless often choose hymns and songs in funerals for themselves and those close to them. Because joining to sing is a comforting and healing process in times of sorrow, whereas words on their own can actually give people at critical points of their lives no opportunity to share their emotions with others. The Psalms record how music gave people the strength to endure and survive. When they were in exile, the Israelites sang, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat down and wept when we remembered you, O Zion." And later they sang again, not this time in stress, but in triumph. "We shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing, and the trees will clap their hands." And the first Christians followed the same tradition. We see this in the letter Paul wrote to the church at Colossae. "Let the gospel of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Teach and instruct one another with all the wisdom it gives you, with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Sing from the heart in praise to God." In our own community, music has become a growth point, bringing new people into our church. the Music Fest concert drew people together of different ages, cultures, nations and languages. It's some time since we had an occasion which was such a celebration of our community, with such varieties of music, age of performers, and with so many examples of outstanding talent. This was our homegrown celebration. All the participants involved KURC worshippers. Ages ranged from under 5 to over 80. It was great to see 4 teenage lads singing with such confidence and enjoyment. The concert gave us an opportunity to acknowledge the contribution and gifts of the Korean members of our community on piano, cello, violin, and those amazing zithers. One of the pleasures of the event was to rediscover hidden or forgotten talents among our congregation, like the recorder trio, and to be entertained with songs and duets. The choir of members sang about the holiness of God and about Jesus Christ, the apple tree, whose fruit makes my soul to thrive. It keeps my dying faith alive, which makes my soul in haste to be with Jesus Christ, the apple tree. The accordion laments, recording the sorrows of the Great War, I found especially moving. This was an occasion when we were able to be open and welcoming to strangers and visitors, but perhaps above all, it was a time to realize the strength of our community and simply to enjoy our rich fellowship and friendships. What then should we say about the place of music in the worship of God? We are blessed with an amazing range of musicians, from professional and gifted amateur to those beginning to learn, who freely offer their contribution to our worship. EJ wrote recently in Church News, "Every type of music can be used to worship God. Before the service, we prepare our mind and spirit to worship. Music helps us to do this." Reflecting on this, I thought, after the service, music is a vehicle for rejoicing and also gives us space to reflect on the meaning of what we have heard for the days ahead. The music is not a performance, although it is performed, and our musicians have worked hard to offer the best they have to God. Applause is natural. We applaud, but that is not the point for us or for the performers. The music is offered as a part of worship. And we can now think about how to offer music to the wider Kingston community. As the famous J.S. Bach put it, offering music for the praise of God and for pleasant recreation. And we might do this through events which can provide an oasis of calm and refreshment and bring more people into our church. In the service order, Leslie quotes the words of Martin Luther. "Next to the word of God, the noble art of music is the greatest treasure in the world." The poet Christopher Smart echoed the same thought with his vision of music flowing out from the heart of God to all human people. For God the Father Almighty plays upon the harp of stupendous magnitude and melody. For at that time, malignity ceases and the devils themselves are at peace. For this time is perceptible to us by a remarkable stillness and serenity of soul. For H is a spirit, and therefore he is God. K is king, and therefore he is God. L is love, and therefore he is God. And M is music, and therefore he is God. Hallelujah from the heart of God, and from the hand of the artist inimitable, and from the echo of the heavenly harp, in sweetness, magnifical and mighty. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
We will sing, "Be still and know that I am God," then I will lead us in prayer, then we will sing it again.
Just like to have made this a little bit more interesting, the choir are going to sing it through first in unison, then we all sing it together in unison, and then we're going to try it as a round. We're going to split the congregation into two. This is going to be group one on this side, group two that side. And if you do feel you're getting lost or not sure, if you watch the choir, group one this side, group two that side, they should lead you into in where we should be.
When it was too intense, too deep. Thank you for the music that conveyed what we felt, or the art, or the touch. We hold up before you those going through times like this now.
hold up before you those who we find it difficult to communicate with. And in our prayer for stillness, we pray for those who are rarely able to be still. So we pray for those who are the parents of small children, for those who are full-time carers. Loving God, we pray for those who cannot be still because there is a war to be fought. There is water to be collected. There is food to be brought from the food bank. And there is work. And there is work. And there is work. We pray for those who long for such activity. The long-term unemployed, those newly out of university and school still searching. Those whose bodies now mean that they cannot do all that they did and how they miss it. Those forced to be still in their bodies, but their souls are still restless. And the question is, what does life mean? And for ourselves, in our restlessness and our noise, give us your stillness. And give us the music of heaven. Lord, in your name we pray. Amen. We continue our worship as we make our offering. So you may have heard that we have raised enough money to buy this piano. Thanks be to God for God's generosity and God's leading of the Spirit, and for those who worked so hard to raise this money and speak to people about it. But of course, all the other stuff, the boring stuff, also has to be paid for, and that is what these gifts are about. So let us pray. Our loving God, we thank you for your mission that is based through this church, this building, and this community. We thank you for money for ministry and mission. We thank you for money for toilet paper, for electricity, for pens, for coffee and tea, for Christmas gifts, for petrol, for visiting. Lord, receive our gifts of money and receive and transform our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Bring us, O Lord God, at our last awakening, into the house and gate of heaven, to enter into that gate and dwell in that house, where there shall be no darkness nor dazzling, but one equal light, no noise nor silence, but one equal music, no fears nor hopes, but one equal possession, no ends nor beginnings, but one equal eternity in the habitation of thy glory and dominion, world without end. Amen.
So we're joined to sing for our final hymn, Love Divine, and we're singing this so that Maggie will have it in her head to take her beyond the anxiety of her operation. We join to sing.
May greatness be ascribed to God. May God's name be glorified by all creatures. May God's name be praised by the music that we offer, the words that we say, and the lives that we live, now and eternally. Amen.